الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن لفي الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب ألا وهي القلب ألا وهي القلب صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conditioned every human being with something that has been deeply embedded in their psychology. And that is what we call the aspiration, the ambition, the desire, the goal to become successful. And if you look throughout the world, look at the schools, look at the universities, look at the businesses, whether it be agricultural, whether it be farming, whether it be commerce, people are waking up 9 to 5, people are running big businesses, people are making investments, people are waking up early in the morning and going through a great deal of effort. And behind all of this is one primary goal. I want to be successful. I want to be saved from being looked at as a failure. Now, since this is such an important aspect that it governs the very basis of the lives of every single human being from the cradle till the grave, it is obvious that the Quran and the Mubarak Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not going to be silent on such a matter. Before touching and delving into the ayat of Quran, let us introspect and see through which lens do we gauge success and failure. Does it mean that if I see somebody with a high-flying career, somebody driving a fancy car, living in a palatial home, owns fashionable brands, does it mean that this person is successful? No. On the converse, we see somebody with shattered, tattered, torn clothing, lives in a small house, owns a small car, does that mean that this person is a failure? No. If you look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, historians write, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ Allah Ta'ala tells us in Quran, when it comes to the distribution of wealth, that who is rich, who is poor, this has nothing to do with you, nothing to do with your financial prowess, nothing to do with your business acumen, nothing to do with your family background. This is completely the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Historians write regarding Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, it was the habit of Dawood alayhi salam that he would go and seclude himself in the mountains and make the zikr of Allah. And Allah had blessed him with such a melodious, beautiful voice, Ya jibalu awwibi ma'ahu wa tayr, that even the mountains and the birds would hymn the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with him. So once Dawood alayhi salam left his house according to his routine, and he goes to the mountains. But one day as he was going, something unusual happened. He comes across one cave. And he notices that in that cave there is a grave. But the corpse that's in that grave is unusually enlarged, a very large, tall corpse. Dawood alayhi salam draws closer. And he sees that next to the Qabr, there is a tombstone. And what was transcribed, what was written on the tombstone? It said that I was a king of my time. This king's name was Waysam. In my time, I had conquered 1,000 cities. I defeated 1,000 armies. I shared the bed with 1,000 princesses. Glory, pomp, status, name it all, I had it. But at the end of my life, I realized that all the superficial material things of this world is zero, totally worthless. The king at the end of his life realized that success has nothing to do with dunya and the material things of this world. The question now arises that the success which every person is running after, where has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed this? If we turn the pages of Quran, then we'll see the amount of emphasis Allah ta'ala places on what is success, what is failure. Perhaps there is such any other topic where Allah ta'ala has placed so much of emphasis. One verse, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The pleasure of Allah ta'ala, the one who has found Allah, has found everything. That is the greatest wealth. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the real great success. Another place of Quran, again, oath upon oath, qasam upon qasam. Allah ta'ala doesn't need to take any qasam. Sometimes Allah ta'ala suffices with one oath, wal-asr. Somewhere two oaths, wal-duha, wal-layli idha saja. Somewhere three oaths, wal-layli idha yawsha, wal-nahari idha tajalla, wa ma khalaqa al-zakara wal-unsa. Somewhere Allah ta'ala goes even to take four oaths, wal-sama idha til-buruj. واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود. And somewhere Allah Ta'ala even goes to take five qasams. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر. But in this one surah of Quran, Allah Ta'ala goes on to take 11 qasams. 11 qasams to impress upon us, to drill within our hearts the importance of what is going to be mentioned. Allah says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَالْلَيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءَ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Oath on the sun, oath on the moon, qasam on the day, qasam on the night, qasam on the heavens, qasam on the earth. And thereafter, so to say, if still your heart is not being overawed by what's going to be mentioned, I take a qasam on your life, on your existence. Wa nafsi wa ma sawaha. After that, at the end, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Success is only for the one who has purified his heart. Purified his heart from every other ghair. That only the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is palpitating, vibrating in his heart. The lifestyle of every other way is hatred towards him. It is only the lifestyle and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so to say, has become beloved in his eyes, intoxicated with each and every sunnah. How much of value is the sunnah and the commands of Allah Ta'ala in our lives? For example, in our homes, if a child has to take a 100 rand note and he tears it apart, or he takes a stone and he starts damaging the furniture, breaks the windows, what will happen? The entire household will, so to say, pounce on that child. But when we see in our homes that the child or the family is giving preference to the toothbrush over the miswak, or when they're drinking water, does it hurt me that I'm seeing my child but he does not take the name of Allah before drinking water? He's not sitting and drinking water. He's not drinking the water in three sips. What is the condition of my hukukullah, hukukul ibad? Are my matters with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order? For years and years, I've got namazes which I must, qaza namaz. Are my qaza namazes in order? If I'm owing somebody money, or if I hurt somebody, have I sorted out my affairs with that person? Well, am I explain that this department of akhlaq of our deen comprises of 75% of our deen. Now let us ask ourselves, what is our level of akhlaq with our wife and children? This is deen, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how each and every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can come in our hearts. And if you have the command of Allah, and if you have deen in your life, you cannot be number two. You cannot be number two. You are number one. You are number one. You are VIP. No millionaire is better than you. No billionaire is better than you. No person with any fancy degree is better than you. You are number one. Success is for the one who has made the command of Allah and the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the motto and the mission of his life. One sahabi, Sahal bin Sa'idi, radiallahu anhu, he mentions, once we were sitting with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one person passed by. He explains it, min al-fuqara, amongst the person who has been looked down in society. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the sahaba, O my sahaba, ma taquluna fi hadha? What is your opinion on this person? Sahaba say, O Nabi of Allah, this person, هذا حري إن خطب ألا ينكح وإن شفع ألا يشفع. This person has no honor in society, doesn't have any respect, no dignity. If he has to propose for any girl, very likely it will be rejected. If he has to intercede on anyone's behalf, very likely it will be rejected. Nabi alayhi salam kept silent. After some time, another person walked past. He describes it, min al-ashraf. Min al-ashraf. In our terms, VIP. If there was a list of those whom we, of what we regard as success, pomp, glory, money, wealth, affluence, this person will so to say tick each box. Sahaba go on to say, O Nabi Allah, this person, هذا حري إن خطب يزوج وإن شفع يشفع. If he had to put a proposal in any family, so to say that family will read two rakats of namaz, we got a proposal from such a prominent family. If he intercedes for anyone, 100% accepted. Abi alayhi salam heard this, and then he says, هذا خير من ملء الأرض من هذا. The first person, you wrote him off, take him, put him on one side of a scale. And the other person, who has so much of dignity in your eyes, fill the entire world with people like him and put him on the other side of the scale. But that former person, that first person, on the tongue of Darbadi Risalat Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say, this man will outweigh the world. This man will outweigh the world. On what basis? This man had Allah in his life. This man had deen in his heart. And he had it all. First point, we understood that success is only and only in deen. Second point, we feel, okay, I understand success is not in deen, is not in dunya, but, you know, if I reach, my bank balance reaches so much, or if I just get that car, or I just want more property, then I'll be happy. I'll be content, I won't ask for more. No, no, that's another lie. That's another deception. Everything has a place where it's found. Looking for gold, but if I'm digging the coal mine, I won't find gold, I'll find coal. So I'm looking for silver, but I'm digging the gold mine, I won't find silver. Exactly the same way, Allah Ta'ala has kept that happiness, contentment, only and only in deen. Only in deen. There was one person came to a doctor. What's the problem? Doctor, please help me. I'm going to a lot of depression, mental problems. Doctor tells him, you know what? There is no better time you could have come. There is no better time you could have come. Why? So the doctor is seated on his in his office, on his seat. He stands up and he goes to the window, to the glass in his office. He opens it and he says, look there. So what they see there? They see there was one very, a huge platform, tents were put up. Like how we see in the Istima. So he says, doctor asks, you see who this, all the tents are put up for? He says, no. He says, in our midst, we have the world-renowned comedian in our town. You don't worry. You just go sit in his shows, sit for his programs. He will laugh, he will make you laugh. You will be sitting in an atmosphere of laughter and happiness, excitement and joy. All your stress, all your depression will vanish and disappear in thin air. Now the doctor is expecting a very nice reaction from the patient. But he's just silent. No answer. No yes, no no. So after some time, the doctor gets a bit edgy. He asks him, "Brother, you heard what I said?" He says, "Yeah, I heard what you said." "So you're going to do it, you're not going to do it, you're going to go, you're not going to go, you're not saying anything." He says, "Doctor, you know who I am? You know who I am? That very same comedian you talk here about, I'm the same person. I'm the same person. But why? He had everything. Outwardly, everything was glamorous. He's supposed to be the happiest person in the world. He's distributing happiness everywhere he goes. But he doesn't have Allah in his heart. He never has deen in his life. That's why no matter what a person does, he'll always be miserable." Another instance, 15 years ago approximately, there was an interview of the top 20 most richest people of the world. The entire world's media came to a standstill. We're not talking about rands and cents. We're talking pounds, dollars, euros. Millionaires, billionaires. And according to the world, these people are the happiest people of the world. So to say, they got their jannat in this world. They got the cars of their choice. They got the houses of their choice. They got women at their beck and call. They got it all. They got everything. But at the end of the interview, what was the end result? Most of them were contemplating suicide. Most of them were contemplating. What happened? The same thing before we sleep, in our lonely moments, we dream, I need to increase my bank balance, I need to do this for the business, I need to get more money, I need to get this car. They had it all, but they were still depressed. Why? They were looking for something that's not there. Allah has kept that happiness, that peace, that contentment, only and only in deen. Then the second deception, that okay fine, once I reach there, I won't go higher. I'll be content. That's also another lie. That's also another lie. In the field of a hadith, the highest narrator of hadith, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, 5,374 hadith, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The second highest narrator of a hadith, our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, with 2,200 hadith. Somebody asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, "You saw the safar and the hadar. You were there in the khalwat and jalwat. You saw the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You enjoyed his companionship. Tell us, which statement did you hear Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeating the most? What did you hear him repeating the most?" She says, "I heard the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeating this phrase the most. لو كان لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ لَأَحَبَّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيًا وَلَن يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابٌ." And if any person owned an entire valley full of gold, ulama explain, put the riches of all the people, richest people of the world together, it does not even come to one valley full of gold. Doesn't come. So much of wealth, next 10, 20 generations don't have to work. What will be his next mission? Let me give myself for deen. Let me free my life for Allah. No. His next ambition in life will be, how can I get a second valley full of gold? How can I get a second valley full of gold? Then we think, but you know, if I get so much, it's so exciting, so much of luxury. What is kept in deen? What is kept in jannah for us? Is it dry? No, it's not dry at all. One hadith of Al-Mustawrid ibn Shaddad radiallahu anhu says, the Nabi alayhi salam said, famous hadith which you all heard, the comparison of dunya to akhirat. The comparison of dunya to akhirat is like a person who dips his finger in the ocean. He removes it. Nabi alayhi salam explains, that little bit wetness which you see on your finger, that is dunya. And the remainder of vast ocean that's day before you, that is akhirat. That is akhirat. Now we all heard the hadith, but let us look at it a little bit more deeper. So it has been estimated that in the ocean, there is 1.336 sextillion liters of water. Million, we know 6 zeros, sextillion, 21 zeros. But our discussion is not liters. Our discussion is the drop of dunya versus the drops of jannat, of akhirat. So they say it takes 20,000 drops to make 1 liter. So we'll have to take this figure, multiply it by 20,000, which gives us 26.7 septillion drops of water. Septillion, 21 zeros, septillion, 24 zeros. Now let's look at the hadith. Now put all your glorious, happy moments of dunya, your first car, your first time you graduated, you liked a certain girl, you don't know she's going to accept, she's not going to accept, tahajjud upon tahajjud, wazifa upon wazifa, and then eventually you got to know she accepted, your hair stood on end, you got goosebumps, put all these happy moments together, it all comes to that one drop. One drop. What must have Allah Ta'ala kept for us, in store for us in Jannat? مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, nor can the mind of any human being fathom such a Jannat. فِيهَا عَيْنٌ جَارِيَةٌ فِيهَا سُرُرٌ مَرْفُوعَةٌ وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَةٌ وَنَمَارِقُ مَصْفُوفَةٌ وَزَرَابِيُّ مَبْثُوثَةٌ. Allah explains, in it I have kept for you in Jannat flowing springs. Elevated thrones for people of Jannat to sit in. Carpets, goblets, rivers of honey, rivers of milk, rivers of wine. And undoubtedly to say, one of the highlights of Jannat will be the woman of Jannat. The woman of the dunya are created with 4 elements. Water, fire, earth and soil. The woman of Jannat also created with 4 elements. Min rijliha ila rubbatayha min az-za'faran. From her feet till her knees will be made from pure saffron. Wa min rubbatayha ila sadyiha min al-misk al-khalis. From her knees till her chest will be made from pure musk. Wa min sadyiha ila unuqiha min al-ambar al-ashhal. From her chest till her neck will be made from ambar. Wa min unuqiha ila ra'siha min al-kafur al-abyad. From her neck till her head will be made from white camphor. Leave alone the beauty of the woman. Leave alone of her face. Nabi alayhi salam tells us in a hadith, وَلَنَصِيفُهَا عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Just the scarf on that woman is better than the entire world and whatever it contains. When a jannati will be entering jannat, what will be the honors? How will his istiqbal be made in jannat? The woman of jannat will enter. They will come. Our husband has come. And then they will sing in a most melodious voice, لَمْ يَسْمَعْ مِثْلَهُ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ. No one has ever heard such melody, such music. And what will they say? Allah, listen, O our husband, نَحْنُ الْخَالِدَاتُ فَلَا نَمُوتُ أَبَدًا وَنَحْنُ الْرَاضِيَاتُ فَلَا نَسْخَطُ أَبَدًا وَنَحْنُ النَّاعِمَاتُ فَلَا نَبْعَثُ أَبَدًا وَنَحْنُ الْمُقِيمَاتُ فَلَا نَمُوتُ أَبَدًا. Behold, O our husbands, we are here, we will never die. We will always be pleased with you. We will never become displeased. We will always remain young and attractive. Our beauty will never fade. But now the question, the burning question is, for who has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept this jannat for? For who has Allah ta'ala kept this jannat for? Allah ta'ala answers in 16 para, Jannatu adni yadkhulunaha tajri min tahtiha al-anhar wa dhalika جَزَاءُ مَن تَزَكَّى. That jannat, the comfort, the luxury, the bliss, the pleasure, I have kept it as a recompense, as a reward for the one who purifies his inner self, for the one who purifies his heart. A bride, she will spend hours preparing, beautifying herself, adorning herself. You ask her, what are you doing for so long? She says, I'm preparing myself for the most beloved person. Exactly the same way our Hazrat has gathered us here for the Islahi Jalsa, so that we can get this fikr and concern that how I can bring Allah in my heart, how I can beautify my heart, how I can purify my heart, so that I am ready also to meet my beloved Allah. How I can meet my beloved Allah. Behind the scenes, as we are sitting here, there is a mustaqil jamaat that has been placed for zikr, for dua, so that each one of us coming in our heart can take a somersault. There can be a revolution in our lives. The Muhammad Ahmad Abdullah that is here before the Jalsa, and the Muhammad Ahmad that is here after the Jalsa must be a different person. There must be a change in our lives. Like how, when it comes to building my business, building my career, behind the house, behind the car, there is an effort. Similarly, in this line also, there is an effort that has to be made. And as the Shaykhul Hadith Ma Zakari Rahmatullah Ali puts it beautifully, ye dolat kisi Allah wale ke joote seedhe kiye bagair nahi milta. This wealth can never be attained without giving yourself to one of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this decision of change has to come now. Nabi alayhi salam said, Aksaru ahli nar, majority of the people of in the fire of Jahannam will be who? Al-Mustawwifin. Those who always said, Sofa, I'll change later. And now at this very moment, as we are seated, there are millions and billions, if not trillions of people that are crying. Crying so much, tears are finished, pus is coming out. Pus is finished, blood is coming out. What are they crying for? That very same chance, that very same breath, that very same opportunity which me and you have now. They are crying, oh Allah, one more chance. Oh Allah, I won't let any namaz of mine become qaza. I will not cast a single glance of haram on any woman. I will never listen to that haram music ever in my life. If me and you are not going to make that decision now, then tomorrow I will also cry. By that time my crying will be too late.